Henry Riley, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, why the jump?
Well, it's been part of a process for me. It has been inevitable that I would join the TUV at some stage in my career. I feel very close to their policies, and it is a natural progression for me. Hello?
What was wrong with UKIP?
Well, nothing's wrong with UKIP. I have a lot of good friends in UKIP, and I'm not going to start bad-mouthing them. But just, you know, I think you heard David on earlier there. You know, David was the architect of the Good Friday Agreement that put the IRA Army Council into the government of this part of the United Kingdom. What the TUV wants to do is...
David McNally was not the architect. He wasn't the only person involved.
Well,
he certainly didn't know the Army Council was involved, did he?
Well, he was a significant player, and anybody that didn't know that the Army Council was involved shouldn't have been involved. But the fact is that Stormont is a British institution. It's not an institution that the TUV wants to wreck. We want to reform it and bring it into the constitutional norms that has a properly functioning opposition.
Well, you want to bring your party wants to bring down, wants to wreck the executive, doesn't it?
No, but, well, the executive, Stephen, I would ask any objective listener to your programme, is this executive functioning as a administration should? You know, we've got Dickensian, literally Dickensian jails. We've got a health service falling to pieces. We can't cut the grass. We can't put lights in our streetlights. This system is not working, and it needs radical reform. And the TUV, really and truly, are the only party that are offering that path to reform. And
yeah, but what path to reform? Rather than ripping everything up and saying that everything doesn't work, Henry, what path to reform?
The executive needs to be radically reformed, and it's only with a very strong TUV voice in the Assembly that you will get reform, because the present parties, the Ulster Unionists, the DUP, the Alliance, and unfortunately now UKIP Northern Ireland, you know, they announced that they want to get the Good Friday Agreement fully back on track. Whenever you have all those parties covering each other's back and accepting this, you know, system that just muddles through from day to day, that is never going to get the people of Northern Ireland the administration that we deserve. We deserve as good as what Scotland or Wales has. You know, we're not second-class citizens in this part of the United Kingdom. And, you know, we just have to be determined and resolute and work for what we know.
But I'm trying to understand what you want. So you want direct rule, do you?
No, we want an accountable administration on similar grounds to Scotland or Wales.
What does that mean?
At the present time, it doesn't matter how badly the present politicians and that executive perform. It just doesn't matter. We don't have the means to remove those people from government come an election, because they will just go in there and step straight back into their government positions. In a properly functioning democracy, you will be able to elect people, they will go up to that building and they will form a voluntary coalition, and that coalition will then administer the departments of government as they should be. And if they don't perform properly, the people can get rid of them. Those are the absolute fundamental basics of democracy that we just don't have. So unless we work towards that goal, and the TUV genuinely is the only party who is articulating that type of government for Northern Ireland, and if the TUV is successful come next May, and I'm increasingly confident that people are beginning to understand and accept our message, that if we can get a significant team up there, you will see change. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Let's say, where does the... Because I don't often... You're now a fully paid-up member of the TUV, right? That's where we're at, is it?
Yes.
From this morning? Is that where we're at?
David, Stephen, I've been working with Jim Allister from 2009. Whenever Jim was running for the MEP, I was the chairman of UKIP in Northern Ireland then, and we decided collectively that because Jim was doing such a fantastic job at that time, that we wouldn't run against him. And I actually went out and lobbied for him and worked for him at election time. So I've had a long relationship with Jim Allister, and, you know, of all the people I have met in politics in Northern Ireland, without exception, Jim Allister is the most decent and honourable man I have ever met in politics. And I think that people, the general public, will start to or are increasingly realising that Jim Allister is a man who has the potential to lead. He's got a forensic mind that can analyse legislation, and he can...
Really, he can compromise with other political parties, can he? He can reach out to other communities and people people who vote for Sinn Féin would really think, well, there's a leader who will understand us as much as anyone else. Really?
Well, Stephen, one thing I heard... the leader of UKIP Northern Ireland going on about being selectively British. We believe that every single person in this United Kingdom and in Northern Ireland is British. We're part of the British Isles. That's our makeup. We're British citizens of the United Kingdom. And there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of people who are traditionally conservative Catholic voters who see the way Sinn Féin and the SDLP in particular are completely misrepresenting them now in terms of social issues. And I know that many of those people will look down that ballot and they will say to themselves, look, who is there here that fully represents my views? That will be the TUV.
Well,
we may not get a load of first preferences, but I'm sure that we will get transfers on down the line from that type of person. And I think we've a really good future in Northern Ireland.
What about for where? Well, let's find out where you stand on a couple of policy issues, Henry. In terms of welfare reform, where do you stand on that?
Welfare reform should have been already brought in. It's scandalous that, like, as I said, we're British citizens.
Cut people's benefits. So you support people in Northern Ireland having their benefits cut?
We float or sink together, Stephen. And if somebody in Cardiff or Edinburgh or London is having their benefits reduced slightly to take account for the very, very huge national debt that this country has accumulated over years of misspending, then we can't expect people in Northern Ireland to be more gifted. It's just not fair. You know, we're British citizens. We'll sink or swim together. In the good times, things will be good.
So you don't believe in fighting specifically for Northern Ireland? We take everything as it is on the round.
In terms of welfare reform, it should be a national policy. I think that the NHS is a national institution, and we should have the same rights and expectations of people in England do, who don't have these huge waiting lists.
Well, now, this is interesting. So we've got both the DUP and Sinn Féin, and indeed the other political parties, some of the other political parties, fighting for extra resources for Northern Ireland, lobbying the Prime Minister for extra resources. But you, Mr. TUV, you would say, don't worry, we don't want anything extra, just give us the same as the rest. Why do we need devolution case?
Well, if we were going to get anything extra, there's a lot greater priorities. You know, as I said before to you, Stephen, I'm a councillor on the ground. I see the need that communities have. It's not just welfare payments. You know, I don't want to get into specifics of welfare payments, but there are a lot of people receiving welfare who are better off than me. I drive a 2007 car. You know, I have a mortgage to pay. I have to watch every single penny at the end of the month. I know how ordinary people live. And I have friends who get welfare, and they're a lot more comfortable, and they know exactly how their budget's going to be at the end of the month. So, you know, being on welfare has its benefits as well as its downside.
Would you also?
I don't want to be on welfare. I want to try and be productive.
Yeah, but if we take what you're saying to its logical end, Henry, pensioners wouldn't have free travel in Northern Ireland. Anybody over 60?
That's not true.
Well, there's no free travel in Great Britain for those over 60.
There, in some circumstances, Stephen, I have to research this, but I'm almost certain that there are. And in fact, it was introduced in GB before it was introduced in Northern Ireland. And it was introduced in the Republic before here.
Because you'll be quite high profile today, Henry, given this move to the TUV. So we need to understand what our political representatives stand for. So there's where you stand on welfare reform. And you've made it clear about benefits, and you think that there are quite a few people on benefits who have a better lifestyle than you. Talking about lifestyle, I see that you've said that you cannot condone the gay lifestyle. Do you think it's a lifestyle choice?
Stephen, we discussed this in detail before, and I've got literally a minute to get off the Stormont here. I'm sitting at the gates here at the present
time. Let's take literally a minute to talk about it.
I promise you, I will come on and we can discuss all these issues.
Do you think it's a lifestyle choice?
I've said recently that, and going back to the conservative Catholic point of view, I concur with Pope Francis on this one. So perhaps we can leave it at that.
Well, the TV concurs with the Pope.
No, Henry Reilly concurs with the Pope's view on gay marriage, gay adoption, homosexuality, that type of thing. I won't condemn any man, any human being. We're all human. We all have our different ways in life. But there are aspects and ways of life that I find difficult, you know.
And
but,
do you think it's a lifestyle choice?
I won't condemn anybody or judge anybody.
Do you think it's a lifestyle choice?
Well,
because you called it a lifestyle. That's the reason for my question.
Yes. Well, I do believe that everybody has a conscience. Everybody makes individual decisions based on you know, how they perceive it. Stephen, I'm not exaggerating, but I'm under severe pressure here. I'm going to have to go. I'll discuss this with you at any time, and I'm grateful to you for giving me a ring today.
Thanks a lot.
And I'm not fat, by the way. That's the most offensive thing you've ever said to me.
Thank you very much, Henry. Morning to
you.
All
right, Stephen. Talk to you soon.